Hey everyone, Skylar here. I'm just jumping in right before the beginning of this episode to post a little bit of a disclaimer. When we recorded this episode, we had different plans, and unfortunately those plans have changed. In this episode, we talk about our plans moving forward. They are incorrect, as we have unfortunately had to change our plans due to varying circumstances. So if you'd like to have an update on what our plans are moving forward, it's a little self-explanatory in the title of the episode to go check out, and that is the indefinite hiatus episode. So if you're wanting to see what is going to be going on with us, and get more details on what's happening to the podcast, that's the episode to check out there. Just want to say thank you so much for listening. We wanted to give you this episode that we recorded quite a while ago, so it's a little bit out of date, but it was still a really good episode that we just wanted to share with you before we went on this indefinite hiatus for the World Talkers podcast. Again, go check out the episode Indefinite Hiatus in order to get a more in-depth explanation as to what is going on. And then in this episode, please disregard the ending portion where we talk about our plans moving forward, because they have changed. We will not be updating the podcast at this time. But again, before we get into it, I just wanted to say thank you so much for following us on this journey. We are so incredibly grateful and thankful for the opportunity to have all of you listen. Other than that, we just really hope you enjoy this episode. And yeah, you didn't listen to the thing. All right, bye.
Welcome, adventurers. We are the World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fan cast. Lend us your ears, we discuss Evermore, an interactive fantasy theme park.
Stay a while and listen as we explore haunted crypts, meet magical dragons, and learn about the lives of the kindly Everfolk.
Catch exclusive interviews with cast and crew, as well as our thoughts on the incredible atmosphere, authentic set pieces, and show-stopping costume design.
Come along with us as we solve puzzles,
give advice,
and share stories. Experience a new journey as we step beyond the portal and unravel the mysteries
of the worlds in which we live.
The boys are back in town. Oh, it feels good. It feels so good to be back.
Can we use that?
Because I used such a short snippet.
No. Also, I don't think they care. I mean, technically, no. But
it is such a short space. I think we're okay.
Yes,
okay,
I would agree. I don't think they're going to come after us. And no, if they do, super easy to cut out of the episode and repost it.
How's it going, everyone?
Hi. The boys are back in town. Boys are back in town. Feels good. Hey, I'm Daniel. We're the World Talkers. And we've been on a hiatus for a little bit because things got a little crazy. But now things are kind of stabilizing a little bit more, and we're happy to be recording podcasts again. We'll be talking a little bit more about our plans moving forward towards the bottom of the episode. But let's figure out who's here, who survived the apocalypse so far. To my right, survivor number one.
Hi, my name is Skylar. I survived because I subsisted off of staying in my room and eating beans and tortillas and cereal.
That sounds like a good healthy meal.
Yes.
Well, not healthy, but
you're hitting your major food groups of bean and tortilla.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Hey everyone, it's Chandler. I survived the apocalypse. I actually just barely saw another thing for my apocalypse bingo.
Ooh.
Which was a firenado, which was the first official warning that there could be a fire tornado. Welcome to the apocalypse, everyone. But I got that one for my apocalypse bingo.
We are a step away from Sharknado being a real thing. Like, it is. We are so close to this ludicrous fantasy becoming like, oh no, that was a Tuesday.
Like, and it's just another Tuesday. Speaking of which, everyone, we as we get going here just on kind of another Tuesday, another kind of reestablishing kind of the habits and everything as we get started up here again after our hiatus. I do want to take the time to let you know that as I myself have been welcomed onto the Evermore team, I need to make it very clear that this podcast, The World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast, does not speak for Evermore Park. I myself do not speak for Evermore Park, and the reviews, the opinions, are everything and everything discussed here on this podcast are those of the hosts and those are of the individuals and do not reflect those of my employer, Evermore Park. So I just want to let everyone know that this is a personal project. And we are good to go there.
And on a, I guess, not necessarily similarly related note, I just want to say thank you. Thank you guys for being so patient with us as we took this hiatus. It's been very much appreciated. We definitely, Dan and I, echo the sentiment and statement that Chandler has mentioned as well, because we do work on the Evermore Realms team, developing their stuff there. So we do not speak officially for the park here as well, but we have been solving or sorting through all of that craziness, which is, you know, partially why we were gone. So thank you. Thank you for supporting us and for reaching out to us and still interacting with us on our social media. And, as we've been in park, it's really appreciated. We have felt very loved.
100%. I will say, I am going to be speaking a little bit on behalf of the North Korean government. They did reach out to me. Kim Jong-un just wanted me to say, Evermore Park, best park, but Kim Jong-un, best Evermore? Question mark. I believe Kim Jong-un is going to try to launch a campaign to create a North Korean Evermore Park wherein every character is just Kim Jong-un and you go on little Kim Jong-un adventures. When you enter in, you become a member of the North Korean country. It's a good little time.
I do not feel comfortable with everything that we have talked about today.
I do not represent North Korea. See, this is us getting back into it, and us just kind of enjoying the space, because really 90% of this podcast is me pushing my fellow co-hosts into figuring out, what are they going to do next? It's a great time.
Well, I mean, on that topic, what are we going to do next,
That's
Daniel?
A great question. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about where Evermore is right now, because we're very much in a space where Evermore is a new Evermore. It's very different from anything we've seen them doing in the past. I mean, and that's not necessarily a radical statement, because I mean we frequently talk about how different things are at Evermore, like the new things that they're doing, like that has always been something that we've talked about on the podcast. However, this in this instance, this is one of the few where really this is a radical change, a massive step in a new direction for Evermore. And so we want to talk a little bit about the new format of Evermore, kind of what you can expect, just in sort of some of the fundamentals. And then discuss one of the new things that they have moving forward. They're called the Epics. I think, like in the past, we talked about some of the larger scale quests that typically were ran behind the scenes at Evermore, and now those sorts of things, those secret narrative events going on, are now brought to the forefront and are now the driving narrative of what's going on there. So it's talking about that is needed. If you're going to be going to the park, if it's going to be your first time, your 10th time, whatever time it is, knowing what that is going in is huge. It's going to be helpful. So we want to talk about that today as well.
And so as such, we're talking about that new format, and we're not necessarily going to encapsulate the story of this season so far. We'll definitely be doing that in another episode, as well as doing a season review at the end of it. Today is more about just the formatting of it.
Yeah. And so this is, in terms of place and time right now, this is the Pyra season of 2020, where these, sort of big inaugural changes have happened. And so to get into that, let's just kind of start first and foremost. When someone's approaching this season, this is a new season that's never been seen before. It was always the Laura Aurora Mythos cycle. And now we have this new name, Pyra, going in. So in terms of what we've learned thus far, I mean, what is a Pyra? What should people know about that coming into the park?
From my experience, as a World Walker, we kind of just know that this is a constellation that exists in the Endless Sea, and it has some connection to Evermore. I don't really know everything that is there, but that Pyra is this kind of constellation in the stars, I guess. I'm not exactly sure.
But it sounds like if somebody were really wanting to dig in more to that, they should look for the people that fare through the Endless Sea to discover more. The pirates, those individuals that are going to be sailing out and having adventures out there. So, I mean, sure. It sounds... Just from the name of the season, I don't know if it'll be the plan going forward, but it's been a very pirate-centric season so far, and I've really been enjoying that.
Mm-hmm. Pirates.
It only makes sense. It's been a very high adventure season thus far, so it's been very enjoyable. So, I mean, we'll talk about story... in another day, but the story's been great. Okay, so let's moving on forwards. Just so you are aware, our sweet listeners, my plan, kind of, and as we've discussed, is kind of to give that step by step walkthrough. So let's just you've parked your car in the parking lot of Evermore. You're approaching this magical place. You're approaching the entrance. Even that has changed. Just like little things. And so in terms of what you can expect from that experience coming into the gate, it'll change from week to week in terms of exactly what to expect. But I mean, I just put down some notes here on some of the things that I've observed over Pyra. First, the first few weeks of it, and I started arriving later, so I don't know if they've continued to do this, but there's been sort of like sales pitch. As people are coming into the park, where characters will come out, typically the bards are the people I've seen doing this, and they'll kind of walk people through, sing people through, joke with people through the concept of Evermore. How do you play? How do you interact? And give some small story beats so people can already kind of get their brains primed and ready for what they're about to experience. There are going to be people. There are going to be people that talk to me, and I'm going to be able to talk to them and get live responses about the things I asked, not rote things. This isn't a video game. These are real people. These are real characters. So it's a, I think it's a really great primer for those that are coming into the park for the first time.
Yeah. Other than that, everything's pretty much the same. You go through like normal security and ticket checks. They scan your ticket and you have more of like a light security check now. So getting into the park goes much quicker. Then you enter the front of town, which is generally, you know, occupied by those town folk who can give you further guidance on like where to go. I have also been arriving later and later just into the park. So they're not always there if you show up maybe like 30 minutes to 45 minutes or there's less of them there at like the front entrance of the town. But you can still find someone pretty quick to.
I would say the volume of townsfolk in the front of the park at sort of park entry time is commensurate to the amount of people that are entering in. So the higher volume entry times when you're going to have a higher volume of people up there. But then, of course, people have to shift around, go back to the quote unquote their stations, their main locations where people are going to be able to find them over the course of the night. And this is a big one.
Yes. So the park entrance is actually switched from, I mean, there's still obviously the gates on both ends, but the actual guest entrance that you would walk into has switched from the east side and is now the west side. So that is where the line is waiting for you there and for you to enter in. The park has stated that is to prepare for the eventual and soon to be coming Vander's Keep full restaurant, which the entrance apparently will be on the east side. So they're kind of separating that a little bit.
That is very exciting.
Yes, it is. I'm very excited for that restaurant. I think a lot of people have been waiting for that for quite a while. And so it's exciting to have that be much closer to completion now as they are taking steps to, you know, get that functioning and running through all that. A note of things that you can buy as well. There's still great food inside of the park. It has actually changed as well. They have a wonderful new chef. He has done a fantastic job. And the food is just amazing, which makes me really excited for Vander's, because I'm like, if this is what they're doing out of these basic these food booths, imagine what they're going to do in a restaurant.
It is like unreasonably good, like the quality of food that they have right now. I think this is by far like the best lineup of food they've ever had at Evermore. I think if I were to offer like one point of like my own critique, we started off the season with available prices for all of those things clearly listed. And then about 2-3 weeks in, they changed the signs, and I was fine with them changing the signs, but they changed the signs to sort of new signage that had no prices listed. So the only way that you were able to get the price is by going up and either asking for what the price was or by saying, I want to get this thing, and them telling you it'll be $12, $13, it'll be $3.50 for this special drink, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so like that to me, not a huge fan of not having visible prices to all guests at all times. There's aspects of like, well, you don't want it to be immersion breaking, but there are dollar signs in this place that uses gold as currency. It's like, but I am using dollars to engage here. So I would like to know, how can I get my food, please? So that's like a small thing. I know that they're going to be updating the website with prices and those sorts of things there. So those will be available online. I still would like to be able to have the prices available in park. That's just a thing for me. Like if I went into the merch shop, for example, and it was just like, here is shirt on stand, and it was like, no price, I'd be like, nice display piece. I want to be able to buy it. I want to be able to see the price. So like, yeah. That's kind of like a disconnect for me there.
Well, it's very interesting. I don't know why the decision was made to do that, honestly. Right. I agree with you, Dan, actually, as I want to be able to prepare my brain. Like, obviously the food on that sign and everything sounds delicious, and trust me, it is.
It's so good.
It's good.
But as a consumer, I want to be able to prepare mentally for what's about to happen as I am doing this transaction. I also wasn't a huge, I love the look of the new menus, but I wasn't a huge fan of that removal of the price there. I agree with you.
I would echo that sentiment as well. I just like to maximize my time while I'm in park, especially since those lines can sometimes get lengthy when there's a lot of people. So now I'm waiting in line just to get a price. And then either I'm frustrated by the time I get there because I find out the prices and I'm like, oh, either I can't get as much as I want, or I just don't want it at all, and I've just wasted time in the park. Granted, I don't think the prices are ridiculous or anything. I think they're
reasonable for the quality of product you're getting.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. The prices are great.
We're kind of we're getting that kind of a full meal aspect. So it's kind of that $10, $11 kind of for your meal.
Yeah.
And then there's add-ons and stuff. So kind of at that $1 to $2, $3 dollar sign range, depending on how much you eat and how much your party is, obviously.
I mean, yeah, they have fantastic stuff. They have a croque monster, which is a full sandwich. They have,
the Turkey Bacon Club.
The Turkey Bacon Club.
That sucker is loaded with avocado, and I'm like, geez Louise.
And candied bacon.
It's insane. Like,
it's so good.
Picking up one avocado over at the store would cost me the same amount as me purchasing the sandwich. Mm-hmm. It is insane.
Mm-hmm. And then the desserts as well. They have buttermilk French toast. They have Monte Cristos. And then they have crepes as well. So like, just they've really elevated their food game.
I would like, just on the note of those crepes, for the price that I am getting, I would like another crepe or two. But that's just me. Yeah.
I will say, in addition to that, the churro donut, delicious. Ugh. One of the best things I've ever had. But I'd like more churro. That's just my little thing. I'd like a little more churro base. Because I get to the bottom and I'm like, I've ran out of churro.
Yeah.
And now I've just got this ice cream and this delicious, like cinnamon brown sugar apple thing going on. Delicious. But I want more churro. I want my churro to last. I feel like my devouring of of the thing doesn't make it last. Maybe. Yeah. That's a personal problem.
Moving away from food there for a bit, there is now, of course, the merchandise store, which is, of course, always one of my favorite things. It has been a little sad towards the beginning of the season. It was lacking a little bit, but I am understanding of that, considering that Evermore has been going through the same craziness that everyone else has been going through.
Sure.
But they still have t-shirts, Dragonades, eggs. Dragon. They have t-shirts, dragon eggs, dragon heads. They had a couple of those left. I'm not sure how many they have there. They also have some new merchandise that has been added in very recently. They have a drum. They have decal stickers, both for all the guilds and just a regular Evermore shield. Those are all in various colors, which is really fun and exciting. They've added some silver jewelry. It just seems kind of fantasy-like, not necessarily branded Evermore, but it is nice. They're also selling coin packs, so if you're a collector, I'd run in there and buy those as fast as you can while they're still selling those, because those puppies are hard to get. On the note of coins, though, we don't have a Pyra coin, which makes me sad, because the coins are always my favorite collectible of the Evermore experience. They announced a new line of products called Pilts Gnomes. They're absolutely adorable. You have to check them out.
They're so cute. These little piltsies, these little pilts gnomes are based on kind of mushrooms. And so they're these little creatures that are mushroom looking, and they're adorable.
They're soft. They're squishy. They look kind of, a consistency of kneaded bread, as it were. Like, I might even say that they look like Pillsbury Doughboys.
Oh,
I earned that one.
I was like, where are you going?
I worked towards it.
They are definitely
They're super cute.
Yeah.
They're Pillsbury Doughboys.
Pillsbury.
I will let you know that is how I'm going to refer to them forever now.
They're very, very cute. I was curious. I was like, how did you touch them? They're in like a glass dough, you rascal. And there's like a really cute one. My favorite one, he's holding a leaf over his head like an umbrella. It's so adorable.
Because he's a little mushroom. He doesn't want the rain to get him. It's so cute.
Those are not available to purchase yet, but they're on display for anticipation of the upcoming announcement of whenever that is to be released and sold.
Fingers crossed they help us get through the bitter horror that will be lore.
I actually, just on the sign that is there in the mercantile, they do say that they will be available
that
during
is true.
Fall 2020.
That is true. This is true.
The park has also stated on their kind of social media and everything that more things will be added. So I'm looking forward to those, and we'll see what exactly is going on there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and it's always, it's just always good. I love that stuff.
I do as well. The one thing that kind of, as you make your way into the park and into this mercantile, into the Kettle Cafe, which is actually what the building is called.
Uh-huh. It is called the Kettle Cafe.
Yeah, it was always supposed to be a cafe. And you can now see that they are actively working on getting that cafe portion open. You see,
it's true,
kind of some food storage or preparation stations, just kind of those quick packed meals or whatnot. So the merchandise has definitely been kind of pushed off to the side. It's difficult to browse the wares, and as it kind of feels like you're not supposed to touch anything there. And then also very interesting choice by the park to put in a kind of their large scale, model.
Oh, true. This is true.
It's the miniature version of what the park was originally supposed to be.
The 42-acre plan.
Yes.
One, yeah, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's there in the center of the mercantile. of the Kettle Cafe, and it just feels a little out of place. I love being able to see it.
It's something that I feel would fit better in like an Evermore museum someday.
Sure.
It is very cool. I love that model, and we've remarked on this before. We do love that model. It's very beautiful. It's very pretty. I just think it would. I just kind of similar to a map. I would like to see the place that I'm in, like the 3D model of the actual park, so that I can see what I have to explore. And it would be a great insight to like the areas that could be being built, so I could have something small to expect to the upcoming additions to the park, parts of the park that are unfinished.
Sure.
Yeah. Like I agree. Like there's like looking at it, there's almost a, I don't know. I get a sense of sort of sadness looking at it where I'm like, oh, this is a thing that I really want. I want it to be this big. And it like right now it isn't that. Hopefully we can work up to that one day, but it's kind of like,
oh, I would die for that.
It was just kind of it doesn't necessarily make sense to me to show to the park guests at large a promise that they can't deliver on right now versus being able to show something that is concrete right now and say like, oh, look at this smaller thing, and what is actually here and what we can actually promise you, versus this isn't Evermore, but it is in this diorama. Like it's a little odd to me, kind of a, maybe like a, I don't know, sort of like a little cognitive dissonance or whatever, as I'm looking at one thing to the next. And it's not that I think it will disappoint people or whatever, because I don't know how many people are looking at that and thinking, oh, that's what Evermore was supposed to be.
Well, I mean, recently the park has actually added a little label that says, this is what the park was originally supposed to be. It is fun, even though plans have changed.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The little thing, I think it says, even though plans have changed, it's fun to look back on what we once were as a concept and to actually bringing the town to life.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or something to that nature,
and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, it is a great vision thing of moving from what was it conceptualized to what it is now.
I think the thing that I actually don't necessarily like about it, all these other things are great talking points for sure, but the biggest issue for me is that there's just not space in there. I would like it to be filled with merchandise or whatever it is, and that diorama is just ginormous. It takes up so much space. Otherwise, like if there was the space available and it wasn't, you know, interfering in a space with something else, I think, you know, it's not a big deal. It would be cool to look at. Again, like an Evermore museum would be a perfect place to put that.
Right. Its functionality is limited for what it is offering in the space where it's at right now. Yeah. Elsewhere it could do a better job. Yeah, I agree.
A lot of potential coming in the future.
100%.
Other than that, though, the park has published some new maps the park has a new trifold map with a map in the inside and kind of the some new portions on the outside. Hey, is this your first time? You know, all this kind of help, these aids are kind of around the outside that you can see. What do you guys think about the maps?
I am a nerd for paper, which is, I know, something that's kind of weird. I love graphic arts and manufacturing and publication type stuff like that, which is why I buy all of my hardcover books. I don't like paperback books. I want it hardcover, tactile experience. That being said, the new Evermore map is made out of like, you know, actual laminated cardstock, that is, you know, it feels like an actual brochure and less like a coloring mat for a child with crayons.
Sure.
It is true. Yeah. It is true. It's odd that you bring that up, but like thinking about it now, like the old maps felt like something you would like find as like a placemat in like a Red Robins.
Yeah.
But now this is like a true, I'm going to a real park. I'm going to a theme park, an amusement park, whatever people are wanting to call it out there, but I'm going to a professional space that is really trying to let me know what is here and how can I interact with it. They're saying, hey, here are things that we're actually working on. Here are the parts of the park that are in progress. Here are the things that are built. Here's where you can find all of these different groups that you can ultimately meet and interact with. Some of this like really solid design work in that. So best, I give it 10 out of 10, two thumbs up, best map design and like brochure work thus far for Evermore. Great stuff.
Yeah,
great
I would stuff. Agree. It's, they both have served the same function and they do it well, just as the old ones did.
Yeah.
It's just, it really, for me, it's just that tactile experience really does change my perception on a lot of things, how I view whatever it is.
Not to mention, I think for a lot of first timers, it's very helpful because there is a suggested kind of path that one should take, kind of suggested first quests that you should take. So that, honestly, I think the park has made some really good changes there to help educate their new first timers.
Big time.
All right. I think we should transition to the thing that I think everyone really wants to hear about, which is the new kind of gameplay epic structure of what the actual playing out in the park looks like versus what it looks like in the epic.
Yeah. I don't know if this is the official term that has that is being used in Evermore. But like you can kind of look at Evermore's structure right now and kind of break it down into two parts. There is what we might call the midfield, and then there's like the epic space. And in that midfield is where you'll be able to find like 99% of the stuff as being all inclusive with the price of the ticket as you're going throughout the park. The guild, the archery range, the animal show, the meeting with the vast majority of the characters, having conversations with them, learning their stories, their things, so on and so forth. The history of the park. And then there is in the midfield, a new sort of like space for vendors stands. Those you do have to pay for, but you don't have to pay to get access to them. So I would include them in this non-paid zone, as it were, this midfield.
Yeah.
So like the vast majority of all activities at Evermore right now are included with the price of the ticket, which I think is huge win for these reduced ticket prices in the first place.
Oh yeah, that's something that we definitely need to talk about.
We didn't talk about that at all, but that's a huge thing.
So I think it does split into those two things, the unpaid midfield, which is included in, you know, kind of the price of your ticket, and then the experiential customization price points that you have there as well. So the new structure basically, in my opinion, allows for a greater customization for the guest
in a big way.
So you have the gate price, which it's $15 online, and then it is a higher price at the gate. It's about 18, I believe, and then that is for adults. Children cost less. I don't remember the exact numbers on that.
That would be $10 for children ages 3 to 14 at online, and then 13 at the gate.
Mm. Awesome. Thank you. And then the as you come in, you basically have that lower price, so then you can, you know, purchase the things that you actually want to do, which is great because they've added more stuff to do. For instance, we'll start with some of the older stuff. They have the train, which is now $3 to ride that if you'd like to ride the train. They also have, while the archery is free, they do have nightly tournaments where you can earn different prizes, mostly just tickets to return to the park. If you win, you get two free tickets to the park. If you win that archery tournament, you pay just a little extra to do that. And then they also have, they actually have added a battle arena as well. So you can use foam weapons. They rent them there. They also, you can also bring your own in. Evermore is working on getting those rules and guidelines posted at the website. If not, you can just bring it in and show it to the ringmaster, and he'll approve or disapprove of it. And you can, you know, function with that there. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and even if they disapprove it for functionality in the ring, they'll still approve of you as a person. So just know they still care about you.
Yep, Yep. They just, I mean, ultimately, they just don't want anyone
they
to care get
about,
hurt.
It's safety is paramount. So, like, honestly, I would say, like, go online. If you're going to be bringing in, like, weapons to use in the arena in the park, go online. Do research on what makes a sort of battle arena LARP safe, and you'll be able to find a lot of guidelines that take you to like a good point for that. However, once Evermore has everything posted on their own site, like that'll be the place to go check out what's going to make my thing safe, what's going to make my stuff approved for the battle arena.
Yeah. And if you don't have one, you can rent from the park.
And
they
it's actually incredibly cheap to rent.
Yeah.
So like it's not like they're going to be asking for an arm and a leg to give you like
I think it's currently set at $5.
It's $5
which gets you the fight and the
fight
rental.
And the rental.
Yeah. And the rental. So it's like you're paying for a really awesome experience.
Yeah.
Like it's incredibly fun. If you want to take your kids out there and you want to let them know why they should be doing their chores? Hey, take them to the battle arena. It's a good little time.
Yep. And then I think it comes to, you know, the biggest point, which is the epic. So I guess someone pitch me what the epic is. You go, you pay $10 to go into the epic. What am I getting? What is it?
That's a good question. This is what I would say. In short, the epic is everything Evermore has wanted to try to deliver in story, condensed into a 45-minute, hour-ish adventure format, where you and a group of people are able to go and experience a condensed story that will vary from experience to experience as you go in, and from week to week it can change, or rather every 2 weeks it will change. But the endings that people reach collectively will be tallied up, and the thing that happens most while people are in there will ultimately become the real story for Evermore. So it's sort of a collective space where we are all able to decide the fate of Evermore moving forwards. And Evermore has a sort of internal story for why the epics are able to function in the sort of broken, wonky timeline. But it's still a, I would say, a really great way for Evermore to say, we recognize that because of all of the difficulties of things that are going on right now, we have to change a lot of what we're doing, but we still want to be able to deliver to you a top-notch, high-quality story experience. I will say, in terms of story experience, sometimes it's pretty limited outside of that epic area, but if story is really what you're focused on, you can find awesome story moments there in the epic. So I would say the epic 45-minute choose your own ending, choose the own fate forevermore with you and a group of up to like 25 other people.
Yeah, because as far as I understand it, the epic story runs for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then there are those variable endings.
Yeah.
And whichever one happens the most based on Worldwalker interactions.
Yep.
And choices, that becomes the canon of the story moving forward. And then that story in some ways kind of then comes down into the midfield as the people there deal with the results.
Right. They will deal with the repercussions. They don't mm-hmm. really know what's going on in the epic as it is happening.
Yeah.
So I would say if you do go to the park, I think this is an important note, and you're going to be going around and saying, hey, this is going on in the epic right now, some people might look at you kind of like, oh, well, I just thought that person was out on patrol, or I thought that person was out hunting or whatever. They might not necessarily know exactly what it is you're talking about, and especially if it's a person that's involved directly in the epic. But I mean, you're not disallowed from talking to people about things that are happening in there. But again, because of the wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff, it's just be aware that now Evermore does have to deal with a bit of the consequences of having a sort of space broken out of time.
Yeah, because essentially what's going on from everything that I've learned, you know, world walking and whatnot, is that kind of from the effects of the previous kind of scenes that we before the COVID shutdown,
yes,
of Kadarin and Faldo dying, right? That they gave their lives to actually fuel this magical item called the Transion. I've heard a couple different names, but kind of this Transion that is able to allow Worldwalkers only the opportunity to see into the future. So the events of the Evermore Epic, the whatever one is going on, are actually 2 weeks in the future. And we're able to see kind of the different individual strands of time, of fate. And as Dan, you mentioned, that as Worldwalkers start picking and making decisions, the ones that are most commonly shown and acted upon, it's kind of like the individual thread is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, or larger rather, and kind of taking up more space. And so it is the one that takes, or actually becomes...
It is the one that is woven into the tapestry, exactly. Right?
Yep. So, yeah, it is kind of interesting to have that kind of tiny, kind of weird thing. I think a lot of the residents of town currently refer to it as, oh, you must be having a vision, mm-hmm. right? So the actual residents, the actual characters can't see what is going on in this epic zone because it is technically a vision or happening in the future just right. for the Worldwalkers.
Which is pretty fun. Like if you do choose to dig into a little more of the story about it, you really do feel like, oh man, I'm engaging in some serious magic. This is pretty cool. Like even though like realistically you're just stepping into a sort of separate space where you're getting your own sort of private show, like in this area that's been sort of set aside for it. But if you look at it from the story side, like you are stepping in to the future. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I do like the story reason as to why they've created this area of experience. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to dive down into more of like the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
Now that we have that generalized understanding, what is it exactly that we do inside of an epic? And, you know, that has changed. There's a bit of variability from epic to epic because the new format kind of allows them to do a variety of different things in different ways. And of course, this is all done safely, which is one of the reasons why we've heard is that it's transitioned into this, is it allows for, you know, to still have a great experience while remaining safe and from all of the craziness going on. But let's kind of break it down by the mechanics of the epics that we have experienced, starting with the first one.
Yeah. And I'll say this just right before we get into the Bow of the Last Shackle is what that first one was called. I would say like the epic has I would say like what I would classify as like a threefold mission, where they have this general mission of they just want people to say, ooh, I want to come back and do that again. But specifically when it comes to that epic is to say, wow, there's a lot more going on here. There's more options. There are more choices I can make. There are more things that we as a group can choose to do if we work together collectively to kind of reach a conclusion. I want to come back and do it again. And then about Evermore is, man, there is so much more about this place than I had ever anticipated. People are, especially now in the epic, more willing to talk about things than like ever before for some reason. It's kind of crazy. Uh-huh. So like more and more secrets are in those epics. So in terms of like the intro like mechanics, I would say just revolving around the epic intent is to get you to want to be there and to find out more things. And the more you interact, the more you find out more things. Mm-hmm. So I would say like that is the ground mechanic built off of everything.
Yes.
Is interact and find out. But yeah, so let's talk about the Bow of the Last Shackle. As we talk about these stories, we'll kind of give a little glimpse into maybe some of what the narrative is going in there. But all of the epics that we've seen thus far have introduced sort of new ways of approaching what's going on in there. Some that are more gamey, some that are more conversationally based, some that are more performative. And so we'll talk about those things. So first, the Bow of the Last Shackle. So in this one, the Broken Bow, a ship from a group of ships known as the Dagger Fleet had arrived with grave news. The Compelled Hands Company were on their way to Evermore, and the Pirates of the Last Shackle and the members of the Broken Bow had differing opinions on how to prepare for the upcoming fight. But both of their ships had been broken. One ship had to be sort of scrapped and salvaged so the other could be prepared. The Worldwalkers had been asked to settle the dispute as a neutral third party, and to find the best outcome for Evermore.
And the goal of this epic was more of kind of like a scavenger hunt, in my opinion. The goal was to determine how to find the items that would give the ship power, and then giving the item to the group that you wanted to have the power. And so in that way, you had a couple different steps that you had to go through. One, you had to gather information on what was going on and which kind of character you wanted to side with. And then two, there were riddles and things that you needed to solve in order to find where these items were hidden or lost. And then you would find them, give them to the, well, you would not touch them. You would notify the character of where it is. They would go grab the item, and then it was kind of like a game of
basically tag
between characters, not the World Walkers. And if they got tagged, they had to give up the item to the person who tagged them, and if they weren't tagged, they got it to the end point where, you know, the result could take place.
Yeah, and within the game as well, I knew that a lot of World Walkers' concern was that, well, if all of the game is happening in the epic, there won't be a way for what's going on outside to impact anything in here. During that epic specifically, I guess looking at the sort of story, we were able to, in the past, talk to people about how we could prepare things for the future. Kind of an interesting thing. So like working with the Coven, we could get spells to stop somebody during the game of tag. We could work with the Blackhearts to find a way to conscript somebody to help us out, sort of be a personal liaison over the course of the evening. The Rangers had marked certain people with thread, and if you saw like, oh, this person has been marked with a white thread, I know that they're good for whatever thing. So like there's throughout these epics, there are still ways that the past, the midfield, is able to interact with the epic. So just keep that in mind. This isn't totally divorced from that space just because it's in the future. There's still ways that those things are interacting with one another. And I think this first epic is probably one of the best ways to concretely see, like, the midfield is doing this for the epic right now. Mm-hmm. Like it was a very clear delineation.
Yeah.
And this one had kind of a variety of different endings, yeah, including who the World Walkers chose to give these items to.
Yes.
I believe the final result was that the Last Shackle would gain control of the kind of the parts and everything from the Broken Bow, and they would prepare themselves to go fight. And it was also chosen by World Walkers that the Dragon Egg would remain with this new character. Her name is Anshar, and she was kind of this pirate in disguise, but from a new world called Tenashu, and she was actually a dragon expert.
Question, do we know the status of Anshar's parentage? Are her parents alive?
I don't know that.
Because if she does not have parents, she is Little Orphan Annie. I don't know, because she has introduced herself as Annie as well. Anshar or Annie. If she is an orphan, Little Orphan Annie. Keep that in mind, everybody.
So as you could see there, there's a bit of variability based on the plans. I guess the Last Shackle wanted to fight. the Broken Bow wanted to run and go get help. And so that did, you know, change the story pretty drastically based on where, how Evermore wanted to prepare, which leads us into the next epic, which was called The Pillars of Reclamation.
And in here, the Compelled Hands were still well on their way to town. So an emergency election was called for. The town was out of leadership. The previous mayor, Violet Atkinson, had been released from prison and returned to Evermore. She had received help from Lady Grey to get out. But her stay would be brief, and she plans on leaving to go to London once the elections have been seen to. The mysterious ancient order known as the Reclaimers have revealed themselves. They've stepped into the light, and their intentions, along with two other groups, the Regiment of Rogues and a group that we've seen in the past known as the One True Government of Evermore, those have yet to be fully put to the test. But one thing is true. They all want safety for Evermore. They all have different objectives, but safety for Evermore is their primary thing. Many individuals are viable candidates for the mayorship, but not all of their allegiances are really truly known. It's up to the World Walkers during this epic to determine who to vote in as the town mayor and the town manager. Who is going to win, and will Evermore be safer when all is said and done? So this epic was sort of choosing, in a big way, where is power going to sit over the course, especially in these next very important epics, as we're deciding the fate of Evermore as pirates are about to attack, and how is Evermore going to deal with a lot of struggles to come? Because in the past, it's been clear to us that picking the leader of the town is pretty huge in determining how Evermore is going to respond. So this was another instance where we got to participate in an election. We've done that in the past, but this was, I think the stakes were higher,
yeah,
and much clearer, yep, moving into it. So great clarity on that side, and making this a more gamified system, but that felt less like a game and more like a very important narrative beat.
The game was more of like a political one for, yes, those that, yes, enjoyed it. It had that, yeah, definitely less gamey feel in like the scavenger hunt, but it was a let's discuss, and the decision I make on voting really is going to have an impact, because there's this group that likes magical artifacts, there's this group that wants to destroy magical artifacts,
and there's this group that's said to be destroyed. I don't buy it. That One True Government, they say it's not around anymore. I don't buy it.
They always are gonna have a way of coming back.
Life finds a way.
and then they had like neutral parties as well. There was some like performative or like show aspects to that one.
True.
There was, as you kind of like asked certain questions about different things, some people would, you know, get in fights or debates about certain things. So I would still say it was a bit more, it was just talking, like discussing political agenda, really, in regards to Evermore and how they would handle the Compelled Hands coming to Evermore.
Yeah.
And then we voted. And the outcome of that vote was who became mayor. So,
and this is another one of those interesting things where, you know, the epic in terms of the transion's function was kind of like I don't know the story reason, and maybe I still need to figure this out, how the votes were able to still be counted, even though Bartholomew was resetting along with it. If he was, I don't know. But somehow,
I have an explanation.
His little notebook is magical.
Yeah, magic. That's
it is magic.
I don't know if there is one, but yeah, magic.
Magic. I don't know. I'm sure an answer's out there. But that was just like, that was one thing where I was like, I don't know how that works. But we voted, and ultimately we have now Philander as mayor.
Yep.
As a result of this, and was it Bartholomew as town manager?
Correct.
I wanted to say, I was like, okay, yep, I'm pretty sure I have that right. So, like, and there, and it's not like it was a choice between Philander and two other people, or Bartholomew and two other people. It was literally everyone that was there in that epic were viable options. You could talk to them and kind of and get an idea of why should I vote that person in. I still think it should have been Marzi as mayor and Seftis as town manager, just because that just seems like the most hilarious combination of people to run the town. And maybe I shouldn't vote based on what I think would be funniest, because the nation clearly has some reasoning for why that's not the best choice right now. Ooh, political hot take. So it was a very cool little way to sort of step by step introduce people through the epics thus far. Scavenger hunts, here's how to play a very gamey game, and in this one, here is the political game, and like it's building up people's understanding of how to interact in these new epics. So we move on to the third in the series of epics, Milsom's Charge. I didn't really get to do this one, so what was the story behind Milsom's Charge?
Yeah, so this one came as a direct continuation of the second epic. As Worldwalkers, we made a choice. We voted in Mayor Philander Milsom. And with a mayor chosen, it was time for the guilds to kind of come together with both their Worldwalker members as well as they themselves and decide as kind of a town of what actions would be taken to prepare everyone for the kind of impending invasion. So a lot of Worldwalkers, when I did go through this, a lot of Worldwalkers had some very interesting ideas, and some were good, some were not so good.
Were creative.
They were creative. But to be perfectly honest, with kind of the park asking, you know, oh, come up with what you think is, here's what we have, come up with what you think could be the right choice, I also didn't have any great ideas, so I don't even know if I said anything.
The story reason is it was a very complex issue. You know, it's like how do we deal with that? And so as such, there's a variety of ways that we can interact. I think this one just really showed a great way on how epics can still be pretty open, while the ones before that were a bit more linear. This one was you know kind of just. You've been given some information. Now give us some information back. What are your thoughts? And in a lot of ways, I think it just shows the variability of how epics can function. It's a pretty good meshing of, I think, what the original idea of Evermore was meant to be, more linear in that regard, as well as still having the open worldness. I unintentionally transitioned into my review and thoughts on what just epics are.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Let's kind of go there. Obviously, there is some more, there are more epics, but we'll cover that in the story episode that we kind of discussed. Basically, before we get to the actual review, just as Skylar said, those three kind of really showed that there's a variability of how these epics are running, and I'm really excited to see where the park goes, and this may just be the tip of the iceberg as far as how they function. So, you know, kind of the main functionality, just to kind of summarize, is there's a space for you to go that the story progresses every 2 weeks. As you had mentioned, Skylar, mm-hmm. It does definitely seem like this is kind of a hybrid of the two ideas of, hey, this story is happening, but also you get to come and interact with it in a way that is not, you have to be there every second.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what we felt in Lore kind of towards the end, and definitely Aurora. We were like, we have to go every second, and there's this major FOMO.
Yeah.
And I will say, it solves that problem, but it also reintroduces that problem in a different way.
Very much so.
Because it's, you know, with all of these different endings, I was talking with somebody about the epic that just wrapped up about a week ago, that one had been sort of scripted out or had been choreographed out to have like 26 different endings, and that only six or something were seen. And it's like, whoa, but I want to see all of them, right? So, you know, all of these things have variable endings, and it isn't, and they're not closed circuits. They're very open. Like, you can search and explore and get different things every time you go. There's a difficulty in terms of the group overall kind of making a larger decision that may overrule your own and your ability to see a lot of different endings, but there's still so many things to see. You could go once, twice, thrice every weekend, every Friday, every Saturday, and still potentially not see every outcome. And so, like, if your goal is to 100% all of the epics, as of right now, I don't think that's actually possible. So there's still a lot of missing out on all of the possible endings. And then for those that are only able to go once, maybe twice, you're also not seeing all of the potential variety. You'll get some variety, like, between runs. But I mean, there's still a part of me that's like, oh, but I want to see all of it. I want to see all of the things. I want to see all of the stories that could be told in here. And maybe that's just me being selfish and wanting to know all of the possible iterations. Yeah. But I mean, for those people that go and are like me and want to see all of it, I don't think it's actually possible.
Or if it is, it definitely takes a hit to your wallet.
It does, true.
Because it is $10 each time, which, if that's something that's important to you,
then yeah. Hey, like, it's a part of that customizable experience.
And that's something that I really appreciate with this new model, is just that customizable aspect. Is they lowered the gate price, and now I get to choose.
Yeah.
If I don't want to go on the train, I don't technically I'm not paying for it up front, so that's okay by me.
Yep.
You know, and so kind of that's there.
Yeah.
There you have my feelings on the whole matter.
No, absolutely.
I feel very similarly to both of you guys there. I do like that the epics has made people talk more.
Yes.
And so while we may not be able to experience all of the endings, we still get to hear about a lot of them.
That is very true.
Definitely shout out to you guys, the community on the Facebook pages and the other fan pages and things like that, who, you know, discuss these things and become open about it and let people know, like, what's going on, especially for people who can't make it to the park at all. I'm positive people have said and told me, they're like, hey, I love that they're doing this.
I suppose there is something to be said about people's ability to now impact the story even more outside of the park, because, you know, you are able to talk with people about, hey, like, what are your plans going in? I've heard about this, that, and the other that are going on in there. Can you guys, like, try this while you're in there and let me know what happens? And I mean, maybe you'll find people that will do it, maybe people won't, but I mean, still, at a distance, you can now interact a little more, like, actionably in the park, even though you might not be there in person.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely the park actually came out and on the theories and spoilers page actually mentioned, hey, like, we are ready for you to all talk to each other to help one another out. And you know, that was kind of a big thing, because it was like, oh, I no longer have to hold on to this information. I can work with other people. We can problem solve this all together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been great. But kind of let's kind of narrow down into the actual epics a little bit more. What are your personal feelings on kind of just everything, this whole thing? Let's kind of talk about even more so, get into it.
Right. I'm going to say, at least for me, this is what I'm going to classify as my, like, number one epic gripe. And that's just an issue of, like, player participation versus, like, player, what is the word I'm going for?
Observation.
Observation. Yeah. That's a decent way of stating it. In these epics, there are, like, as stated earlier, like, typically you're in groups of up to about 25 people, And in some of the more narrative-focused epics where everyone is expected to be pretty closely gathered together and having a conversation all together, not every person is going to be as comfortable speaking up. You're going to have some folks that are a little more introverted and those that are a little more extroverted, those that have come prepared and those that haven't. And sometimes the voices of regulars and the voices of people who are coming in there to experience as much of the epics as possible kind of pull attention away from what could be other people's participation in the epic. And that's not to say that there are some people that don't want to go to the epic and just want to sit back and watch. I've done that plenty of times and I've really enjoyed it. But I think, man, it's just a difficulty of like a inner circle within the epic of those that are like, well, we're doing this and kind of controlling the tone of the epic while you're in there. Because there have been times where like, I don't know if that's actually the best option. And certainly I could raise my voice here, but I mean, if majority is going to rule, then I don't know if I can really say anything. And that's not to say that I shouldn't, not to say that I couldn't, not to say that I couldn't sway people to my point of view, but in a time-limited setting as well, how much time do I want to put into making people debate over whether my idea is good or not? Oh, I guess we're just going to kind of jump on the first thing that was presented by the loudest voice. And that's, I don't know, like, I don't know if that's something that can really be avoided just because of like group psychology and like how those things work. Like that's an uphill battle that Evermore kind of has to face in that way. Cause they're just fighting against how people operate in groups. But I mean, it's one of the difficulties that I feel could impact people's takeaway experience from the epic of, man, it was cool, but like, I didn't really get to do anything. Oh, it was nice, but like, that wasn't the thing that I wanted to do. And yes, they can go back and do it again, but I don't know if that person's going to say, well, I'm going to speak up now versus the same group of people that had the loud voice last time going to be the one that runs it. I don't know. And I just, just kind of like a, like, and maybe it isn't even just like a gripe, but like, it's just like a, man, I don't know what to do, Evermore. You're in a tough place.
Honestly, it's the unique problem of Evermore, yes. Which is people and actually the difference and focus of who is this for, who is this part for, and not only that, but also the new timers versus the repeating customers, right? Honestly, the repeating customers have paid the same amount of money that the new timers have. So kind of what is the balance that's supposed to be there?
Right.
And I don't even know if the park has figured that out. Obviously they haven't, as it's been around since the beginning.
Yep.
No matter in this epic system or previously, it was like, oh, I mean, we've heard it for a long time of, oh, I was a first timer and I saw someone else who goes very frequently, they got to affect the story. I didn't, right? I think this definitely helps the give power to everyone.
I agree.
But I wholly agree with you that there's this weird thing of, in this group setting, there's sometimes these decisions made that you're like, oh, like,
as
I'm not the individual here.
I agree with that as well. It is very easy for any one group, whether they're new timers or return customers to an epic that's been running for 2 weeks, it's very easy for someone to hijack it and just be like, especially with like the first one with the scavenger hunt, they do try to like mitigate where the items are hidden, so they change that up every once in a while, but in the same day they're just in the same spot. So if someone repeats it twice in a day, they just, you know, rush it, and then you've done nothing. You had zero opportunity to be able to solve it faster than they could, simply because it was your first time doing it. As well as there's only roles that you can only like one person or two people can speak in. And so there's limited slots for interactivity still. However, generally as the storyline, everyone can grasp that. It has helped immensely in that regard that you can follow the story, even if you're missing out on some of these small, I mean, and sometimes they seem bigger, interactive points. You still know the story, which is something that has been incredibly helpful for everybody to be on the same page. And so even if they weren't able to engage in an interactive spot, which, you know, is kind of, everyone always wants that. They want to be the person who gets picked and chosen to be the one. You know, that's just the nature of things. But now they can take that knowledge to the fan forums and communicate there what they felt on how the epic still went, because they're still a part of the story.
I agree.
My opinion of the epics is it definitely, I think it does something to the park that has a lot of potential. I think just looking at kind of our past story and our past reviews here on World Talkers, we oftentimes would say, oh, I wish there was either more story or, you know, more depth or blah, blah, blah. I think the epics have the potential to do something amazing, which is that in terms of a season long story, we put, for example, just to use an, you know, kind of the metaphor, we put the story or the story depth of a season long story in the epic, akin to what happened in Lore 2019. This amazing story that was really performative in some aspects, really kind of the spectacle, we put it there. And that allows everyone to come together, experience it on a 2-week progressing basis. And then in the midfield, this non-epic zone, what I would really love to see is the depth of character and individual process progress that happened in Mythos 2019, which was, there wasn't a whole bunch of story going on that you could figure out, but you have these really rich character backstories, these interactions with these characters that were just fantastic.
I agree wholeheartedly with that. I wish there was more in the midfield area.
I will say the only thing that I've found interesting in the midfield area is finding out people's like backstories. Like, I mean, like the arena's great, the archery stuff is great, but I mean, like that those are activities that are fantastic. But I mean, in terms of like me ever mooring, the only thing that I've enjoyed out there is the characters.
Yeah.
And like, I want more. I want to see more depth there.
Definitely, it seems like it is designed to be just that, which is the guilds and the kind of these character backstories. It appears that the park definitely has toned those down, trying to figure out what the epic system would look like.
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping for more depth, more these beautiful character interactions in the midfield, just one on a one-on-one basis. But I can understand why, in all the craziness that is COVID, that the park hasn't put that time in. I also know that there have been some restructuring internally from the park that kind of, as they're refocusing, they have had to refocus the internal team and kind of get everything up and running, which is totally understandable. I think this is just something that I personally would really enjoy is, like I said, the season-long story and depth there in the epic zone. And in the midfield, the character depth, the backstory depth that was Mythos 2019.
And I definitely still think that they have done some pretty good world building in the midfield.
They have.
I mean, I'm involved with the coven, and the magic seems like it's been much more fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually become a caster and cast magic on some characters now, which is fantastic and wasn't really, you know, doable before. But yeah, I want a little bit more interactivity in the midfield as well. Because I love the characters that are there. And I love the characters that are in the epic. I think they're trending in the right direction, and it'll definitely take time as they figure out this new structure. Each epic has been getting better and better. Sometimes it gets better in, you know, one way it gets a lot better, and then another way it kind of was a little less better. But just like with all the changes that Evermore does, they're attempting to find what fits best for its consumers. And ultimately, as a business move, I think that making just the whole park customizable to the experience that you want is a really smart move. I think I'll kind of always, you know, miss out, quote unquote, on that truly open world, which it wasn't, but it just was... There's always rules. It just felt more open then, and now it just feels like it's just the epic and nothing really in the midfield other than activities, which isn't awful. I just want story everywhere.
I completely agree. I think one, like, and maybe this will give voice to some of the concerns that a lot of people have, like, as a whole, is, you know, looking at a fully customizable Evermore, I think is an exciting prospect, but also one that can also be a little bit terrifying, because I think a lot of people could look at Evermore and say, well, now they're in a perfectly primed position to price gouge everyone. They can make everybody pay for every little thing in the park to enjoy every little aspect and charge way too much for it, or what feels like way too much. I think right now prices are at a really great point.
Yep.
So I'm not saying they're doing that now, but I think as Evermore continues to progress forwards and move forwards, and is keeping the customers in mind, that the, not to say that the dialogue has to be like, well, what's everyone willing to pay for this? But like, I don't know, the communication, the conversation, the understanding between the consumer and the park, that what we're doing is not to hunt for your wallet and pull everything out of your bank forevermore. But it is like, I don't even know. Just like, the prices are there to help you enjoy Evermore, not to keep you out, but to say, we want to be able to give this to you. But in order for us to function, we do need to be funded. I don't even know exactly how to phrase it exactly. But I mean, I think there is something where somebody can look at a price and say, this is an inviting price versus one that's going to be pushing me away. And I think right now, park's in a great place. But like, looking forward, I'm hoping that will continue to be the trend, that Evermore is outwardly saying we want people to come in and enjoy.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know if I expressed myself clearly, probably didn't, but I just want everybody to enjoy.
I think I'll just put it this way as well. I definitely agree with you there, but that's, I am just excited to see where the park goes with this new model, and
same.
I'm really excited to see how Evermore Epics unfold during the lore season. I think that there's a lot of potential there with like really scary themes, for there to be still that story interactivity.
Yes,
and it kind of creates a great separation. Like we've mentioned in the past that lore has always felt more haunt-esque, and we and I go to Evermore to experience the story. And so if there's a guaranteed place that I can go to and experience the story, that's where I'm going to be all lore. Yeah. I'm going to be in the Epics experiencing that story. So I'm looking forward to that.
And I think there's something awesome that they'll be able to do here with the Epics now as well, is, you know, looking at story specifically, is a space for haunts is fine. But a space for them to explore horror in their stories, in a like condensed way, like a horror short story is a classic way of telling horror stories. It'll be like, I feel like we'll be able to experience a live campfire ghost story.
Oh yeah.
And to be able to see it and be a part of it is going to be awesome. I'm very excited for some spooky ooks story. It'll be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the lore season, from everything that I'm reading online and everything from the park, is just going to be that. It's going to be an amazing kind of a new look into how the park can do everything with the current times. I think I have to sometimes kind of step back and be like, hey, like, the park is kind of still operating on a very limited operation because of COVID.
Yeah.
Obviously, we want so much more, but they have to figure out how to be safe. And, you know, there's just with every business, they're trying to figure it out to the best of their ability and to make sure that their actors, their team, and the guests are safe. You know, we're all trying to do this in this crazy time.
We all want to live.
Weird. But yeah, I'm really excited. I just to echo you guys, I'm really excited to see where the park goes with the lore season coming up. They just announced it that it will be starting in September and going until October 31st. So
that is very exciting. As we talk about the park's plans moving forward, I think we should. I think that pretty much wraps up what we feel about the Epics currently. I'm sure we will definitely revisit it in the future as seasons end and we do season reviews. But I would like to now move into kind of talking about where our future is as a podcast and what we're going to be looking like coming forward.
Yes, I mean, like, so I know that we've been talking a lot about this, and we are going to be moving into artisanal soap reviews.
That's not what I meant.
Dang, I thought that was what you had mentioned in the text. I apologize. So what are the plans moving forward?
So the plans moving forward are along these lines. We definitely intend to still do the podcast. We love doing the podcast, but as Daniel and I are on the game development team, and Chandler is in his position at Evermore, as well as Dan and I are working our second jobs, and I believe you have three jobs, Dan.
I'm counting working with Evermore on the game's development. Yeah, I'm working three jobs.
We want to bring you, geez, that's insane. I'm just
hey man, it's all about the hustle. What am I gonna tell my grandkids?
I know, right?
Your grandfather worked three jobs to work after college because his degree didn't matter.
But basically all that's to say is that, especially with COVID going on, things are very difficult for us to get done here as a podcast, mainly just time scheduling wise. And so we are going to be releasing on a monthly basis now. And the hope is that we can, because we have limited schedules, is that we can get those actor interviews and behind the scenes interviews at Evermore, as well as still bring you guys wonderful content while we are busy making other things outside of the podcast, and kind of, you know, doing our jobs and things like that.
And this isn't necessarily going to be the way it's going to be for forever, but at least for right now, for our foreseeable future, that's how we're going to be operating. But as has been our precedent in the past, if we plan on making changes, if we plan on going back to bi-monthly or bi-weekly, whatever it is we're doing, bi-weekly I think is the correct term, twice a month. Once every two weeks. All of the ways of saying that. If we decide to go back to that model, then we'll let you know. We will communicate that to you, and we'll try to give you as much notification about that as possible. And like Skylar was saying, we're only going to try to give you better content. We're not going to dip. We're not going to get lazy about what we're doing just because we're going to that once a month. We're still going to put a lot of thought and care into what we do, even though it might not seem like I think about anything I say, I do. So just keep that in mind moving forward. We'll talk about the Patreon at the end, but especially for those that are supporting us on Patreon, we want you to know that we're aware and very grateful for you continuing to support us through this time. And if you feel like, oh, they're only going to be releasing once a month, if you want to make a change, we understand. But if you want to keep supporting us, we're still going to be giving you that awesome content, and we still are going to be engaging with you on the Discord when we can, because we still care about you.
Yep.
We still want you to have Evermore in your ears, right? that's what we do. We put Evermore in your brain at home.
Again, so thank you there. We appreciate you guys. It is definitely my hope that within, you know, sometime in the near future, if we can, I want to try and get back to that, you know, regular posting schedule that we have. Yeah. But again, we'll update you when that happens. Until then, we've, again, really appreciated your support, and we've really felt the love. We appreciate your continued support and for continuing to listen to us. It is a pleasure and still one of the highlights of my life that I get to record a podcast with my friends and share it all with you. So thank you.
Yeah, so with all of that said, we just want to give a big thank you to Evermore and to you, our listeners, for listening, for enjoying our little podcast. And if you like what we do, please head on over to Patreon at patreon.com/worldtalkers, and you can support us at any of our many valued tiers.
And if you'd like to stay updated on Evermore Park, please be sure to follow them on their Facebook and Instagram at Evermore Park.
Also, you can follow the park at evermore.com, as well as us, the World Talkers. You can follow us on our social media, Facebook and Instagram, with our handle at World Talkers.
You're also welcome to get in contact with us through voice calling at 801-332-9321.
You can also email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. If you do not want to chat through voice, we would love to hear from you in the text format.
And as always, don't forget to leave us a review on that sweet, sweet Apple Podcasts. That's the one that matters most. But honestly, anywhere that you can leave us a review, it really helps us out. It helps us get to people that might not otherwise hear about Evermore. It helps us get the word out there and helps us do more ear Evermore talking. To you, our listeners, I'll let you know right now that, like, the room we're in is, like...
It's a million degrees.
It's a million degrees, and I think my brain is turning off. So I'm going to try to stop talking as soon as possible, but I hope we leave this in, because we love you, and we want you to have this experience with us of what's Daniel going to say next? Because sometimes it just happens. We're not editing any of that out.
Can you end the show, please?
I will. Wherever you are, don't forget to stop and smell the roses.
Beyond the portal.